Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helpfully... What are we doing?
I say this
every week. Hopefully. You know, this, folks, do not try this at home. We are professionals. Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we... I can't even say podcast correctly. We're helping a small church fulfill the big mission, y'all. That's what we're doing. Glory to Jesus. My name's Brian, and I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm here, and I'm joined with two other guys that know a whole lot more than me, Joey and Colby. What's up, guys?
Dope is my life, and things I do are dope.
Thank you. See what that was? That was solidarity. You saw that I was having a hard time.
I didn't want you to be the only one struggling there. So,
blessed I be. And I'm Joey.
That's right, man. Now, normally, Brian would want to just re-record that, but I'm learning the power of vulnerability. So there you go, Small Church Nation. And that's it. We're just going to close this podcast out because it's all uphill from here. Right, guys?
Hey, hopefully.
So today's episode is a special episode because I get to sit in this room with Joey and Colby. And also, because we're going to do our Easter checklist. Dun, 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 dun. Easter is one of the biggest days of the year for us to reach people and connect new families to our local church. Easter's huge, y'all. Did you know Easter's huge?
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at this thing that we've been doing for a few years now called the Wave. Now, I wish you could see in this building right now, but we're about to do the wave in this room, the three of us. So here we go. Kobe's got it started. We're waving. Okay, so just imagine what that looked like, and you're welcome. Now, but also here's what the wave looks like. The wave is essentially a four-week, one-week, four-week event where we push growth on these big events. We do waves at Easter. We do waves in the fall. We do waves around Christmas time. And then there's another one in there called Mother's Day that's fairly decent time to do a wave as well. So what it looks like is 4 weeks leading up to this event, you are promoting the event. Then the week of, you do a killer event. Now, you can use whatever adjective you want to use there as long as it's a good one. Maybe if you're reaching people like Ted Bundy, you don't want to do a killer event. Maybe you want to do a different kind of event, but I digress. And then on the 4 weeks on the backside of the wave, you're working on follow-up and connection with those new families. So that's what the wave looks like, 4-1-4. And so today we're talking about the Easter wave with a checklist of what you need to get done.
Why do I need to do this?
Well, you need to do this, Joey, because this is a good moment to capitalize on people's natural tendency or willingness to go to a church event. Like, studies have shown that non-church people are more likely to attend some kind of event like an Easter or Christmas Eve service. So all this is doing is like going where the fish are biting. That's what this is doing. And it's important that we put a lot of energy and intentionality into it for several reasons. One of them, to work with people's natural tendency to want to attend a church event for something like this. But also it helps to create the culture around our church that we're doing something. And we're all part of something. We're all rowing the boat towards one place. And what I've learned is it's harder to rock the boat when you're rowing the boat, baby.
But you got 4 weeks afterwards. I get them into church on Sunday. I'm done, right? And that is over.
He's throwing these softballs up for me to hit, isn't he? He's doing a great job with that. Yeah, absolutely. That's all you got to do is just get them in the building once, and they'll show back up. You don't have to do any other work. No, that's not how it works. Think about Easter as being a first date. On a first date is when you kind of show your best self. First date is when you go out to a fancy restaurant and you act like you got more money than you really do. And, oh, yeah, you should get the lobster, honey, the lobster and steak. Yeah, surf and turf. That's great.
But I just wanted a salad the whole time.
I just want to sit here and just spend time with you, sweetheart. Well, first dates are important, but you need a second date and a third date and a fourth date and so on and so forth in order to get to know people better before you get married. At least hopefully that's how it works. And so that's what the backside of the wave does. First side of the wave is all about getting people connected, getting people there. The backside of the wave is all about getting people connected. So just because they show up once doesn't mean they're going to show up again.
So if I work this backside, what can I expect? 100% of the people coming back?
That's such a great question. So the front side of the wave, you want to try to double. That's what it is. You're trying to double your attendance. So just to make numbers easy, let's say you have 10 people in the building. You want to have 20 people in the building on the day of the wave. Now, to answer your question about people coming back, on the backside of the wave is kind of tricky. If you double your attendance, you're going to get approximately 30% back. So you went from 10 to 20 on the day of. So from that 10 additional people you got there, you're only going to get roughly three of them back if they come to a second event, like a guest connection meal or a pizza with the pastor or whatever. And then after that, the goal is to try to get them immediately onto a serve team or a small group, because optimally you're going to get about 30% of that people back. So you went from 10 new people there in our makeup church scenario of 10 people, then you doubled to 20. You get three of those 10 back at your initial event. And then of those three, you're going to get roughly 30% of those back. So that means one person, essentially, that will be connected to the life of your church. Now, that may seem like a lot of work for one person, but most of our churches are bigger than 10 people. So the numbers look different. And then as you do that throughout the course of the year, at Easter, Mother's Day, fall time, kickoff, and Christmas, you add all of those numbers up, you've grown your church.
So I grow 10%. If I work hard, I'll grow 10%. I should grow 10% on Easter. I do that again at Welcome. I grew another 10%. I do that at Christmas. So 30% I grew this last year if I put this into place.
Yes, that's what it is. And one thing that I wish I had thought about or been taught when we first started doing Waves is it's not about the one event. It's about what you just said. It's about consistently over the course of the year. So if I do this Christmas, Easter, we do fall kickoff, because fall time, when people go back to school, that's a big time for churches, for families to be looking for churches. So if I do that those three times, and I said Mother's Day, and you guys started shaking your head, because maybe Mother's Day's not big for you guys. For us, Mother's Day's been one of the biggest days of the year for us. So that gives us four times to do a wave. And if every time we can grow by X amount of people, by approximately 10% of people every time, that's a huge event. And then you look at that, you multiply that over the course of, man, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Now, again, we've got to get perfect world scenario out of our mind, because we are going to lose some people. People are going to move. People are going to die. People are going to fall out of ministry, out of connection with your ministry, and go to another church. But this is a way to help keep the front door open and get people coming through.
And if I don't do this and I just stay stagnant, I'm going to decrease naturally because I'm losing those people.
Right.
I got to do something to get them in just to stay the same.
Absolutely. It's atrophy. And it's just like, you know, if God forbid something were to happen to one of us and we were to have to be bedridden for a little while. Well, the longer we go without using those muscles are going to atrophy away. I don't know if that's the proper use of that term. I know the term atrophy means for muscles to go away. I don't know the verb use of it. But at any rate, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're so pretty. Your hair looks so beautiful today. And so, yeah, if we just do what we've always done, we're not going to grow. We're going to actually decline. That's the way everything works. Take a brand new car. So say you go out and you buy that brand new Mustang GT. If you set that thing in a field and don't crank it up and don't drive it and don't do what it's been meant to do, just leave it there, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. Same thing with a house. Have you ever noticed a house, whenever people don't live in it, the house gets worse. It doesn't get better. And so this is how ministry works. If we're not intentional about trying to capitalize on these moments to reach people, we're not just going to grow just because God loves us. That's just simply not how, at least that's not been my experience, and I know it's not been you guys as well.
All right, so before the wave, I'm doubling, I'm trying to get twice as many people in the building. What do I need to do that?
Okay, that's a great, great question. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give us the dates for this year. So this year, 2022, Easter is on April 17. That's the Sunday that Easter is this year, April 17. Now, this is important because Easter is very close to Mother's Day this year. Now, usually Easter is always close to Mother's Day, but this year it's like 3 weeks after Easter is Mother's Day. So you've got Easter on April 17, then 3 weeks after Easter is Mother's Day. So there's an opportunity for you to capitalize on that really big. We'll talk about that when we get there. So I'm going to give you the dates. So again, think about the numbers 4, 1, and 4. The 1, which is the day of the event, is April 17. So now count 4 weeks prior to that. 4 weeks out from Easter is March 20th. So you've got 4 weeks out at March 20, 3 weeks out March 27, 2 weeks out April 3rd, 1 week out April 10. The day of, April 17, then the following 4 weeks after that, April 21st, May 1st, May 8th, which is Mother's Day, and then May 15th, which is right before my birthday. If anybody wants to say happy birthday to me, that's Small Church Leadership. So that's the dates. Now, on the front end of that, there are several things that we can do. And really, the front end of the wave is just doing what I do best, running your mouth. That's what the front end of the wave is about. So it's about generating some excitement. It's about getting prayer, man, ramped up for people that are going to be non-churched in the building. It's about doing all kinds of things that you can do to create a crazy killer buzz around this event. So things like yard signs, invite cards, a landing page for your website, Facebook ads, Google ads. Yeah. Joey, I'm sorry to bring up some old stuff. You want to share a little bit of your frustration there?
So Christmas time, I did Facebook ads and Google ads for the first time. I didn't know what I was doing.
Shocking technology.
Yeah, Facebook, I did okay. I had everything. Google ads, somehow I was advertising in Texas during Joel Osteen stuff. I'm in Virginia, just so you have reference here. Way outside the place I'm going to reach people. I don't know. And $900 later, when I thought I set a budget of $50, it was $50 a day. So get help. Don't let it scare you off, but get help doing this.
Absolutely. And just so you know, there are several tabs that you can hit that will only let your ads be targeted for a certain amount of miles outside of your city radius, outside of where you're located, all of those things. And it's not easy to see, as Joey is saying here, he's testifying from his hurt, that sometimes you can't see how to set those parameters. So, man, just do a Google search on how to use Google ads. They want you, listen, Google wants your money, so they'll help you out. I mean, you don't have to be stupid about this. I mean, you don't have to be intentionally obtuse. I mean, you don't have to just be just hard of understanding and hard-hearted. I mean, my goodness. Okay, I'm just picking on Joey a little bit, but
they
seriously.
They want your money. They're not going to help you like they didn't help Joey. So, watch what we do to this guy.
Yeah, we're going to, he thinks $50. We're going to get $900 out of him. But yes, Facebook ads and Google ads, those are ways to do that as well. Also, a Facebook event, that's huge. And your Facebook event, when you announce your Easter wave, so again, let's look at the date. That's March 20 of 2022. When you come out of the gate that day, if you've got yard signs, banners, our church does big old like 5x5 or 3x3 foot by 5 foot banners with our Easter graphic and all of that stuff up, those are up that day, the day the wave kicks off, 4 weeks, which is technically 5 weeks out.
You said March 20. So the week before March 20, I need to order all this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Because they'll get your stuff printed in 1 week. No. They will not do that. So by the time you're listening to this episode, we're going to have this one scheduled to come out in a couple of – whenever it comes out, you'll have plenty of time. But you need to start now. So you need to find the graphic that you're going to be using, whatever artwork you're going to be using, whatever images you're going to be using, and have those ready so you can go print them out well in advance before it gets there. We would probably say something like you want to have these ordered about 3 weeks before you need them.
So on my yard signs going out my yards, I need to have a lot of details on those, right?
Yeah, you need to have as many words as possible, as small font as possible.
HTTPS / www.
All of that stuff. No, you don't have that. You want it to be simple. You got to think about it this way. People are going to be driving by the road looking at these 18 by 24 inch signs. So they don't have time to see everything. Think about in an election year. In an election year, it may say something like Trump 2020, right? And like that just works with all the other marketing. The other marketing being an election year, they do commercials, they do targeted ads, all these things. So on your invite card, it needs to say something like Easter at this church. Now, some people put a date on it. Some people don't put a date on it. We found out the hard way from COVID. We put dates on everything, and then we had to shut down. So we are not putting dates on ours because if something happens that we can't use it this year, we're going to be able to use it another year down the road.
And that happened to me this year. Something I printed a couple years ago, I'm being able to reuse this year, and it's saving me on cost.
Yep. We're doing the same thing because it will save on cost. And here's the thing. It may cost, for these banners and yard signs and all that, you may be in, I don't know, probably a fair guesstimate would be $400 or so dollars for 15, 20 yard signs, two banners, and 1,000 invite cards, probably $400 or so dollars in on that. But if you don't put dates on it, and then you order 2 or 3 years worth of that, so that's what, $400 1 year, $800 for 2 years, $1,200 for 3 years. That seems like a lot of money, but you can essentially use those over and over and over and over again, mm-hmm. at least until the sun fades them and all of that stuff, if they're good graphics. So don't put a lot of stuff on your invite cards. Your yard sign.
One of the things we didn't say is prayer cards.
Yes, we didn't say prayer cards. That's another thing that's into it, okay? And so here's how we have our wave set up this year for Forward Church, okay? So 4 weeks out, March 20, our Facebook event will be there. And the Facebook event, you need to kick up some dust in that. So I've failed in the past by just having an event and doing it Field of Dreams. If I put a Facebook event, it will get hype. What gets hype is what you put hype into. And so when you have this Facebook event launched, have some stuff scheduled in it where it's going to be posted, you know, 3-4 times a week. Have some video clips that you record on an iPhone or an Android if you're one of those people out there that doesn't love Jesus. Record some videos with some, hey, man, we're so excited about what's happening Easter this year at our church. Can't wait for you to be here. We're going to shoot our youth pastor out of a cannon. Whatever it is that you're doing, like, have that. You got to generate some excitement. Think about movies. When movies come out, they preview the heck out of those movies, and they have this anticipation leading up to an event. So 4 weeks out, March 20, we're having our invite cards out. We're having yard signs available, and this is the first time we're talking about it from the stage. We're also doing a thing called a ping pong invite, which is fun. Usually we did prayer cards, these are the 5 people we're praying for. And the reason we had 5, we want to pray for 5 people throughout the course of these 4 weeks, and we want people to invite 5 people. This year, because invite cards have gotten a little stale for us, we're going to use ping pong balls with permanent markers. And we're going to have them stationed approximately 20 balls to a container all over the church. And we're going to have people, when we make that first stage communication, I'm going to have a ping pong ball in my hand and the marker and be like, hey, guys, this year we're praying for people to come to Jesus. And we want them to get pinged into the kingdom of God. I know it's cheesy and all of that. So here's what we want to do. We've got some places at the back. There'll be two buckets with each location. One's empty. One will have about 20 ping pong balls in it. We'll have them all over the sanctuary with magic markers. Today, I'm praying for somebody, and I've written their name here, and this is the person I'm praying for, and I'm going to put it in this. Would you do me a favor? I want you to take this time and write the name, just the first name of one person that you're praying for that we can invite to Forward Church, that God will save their lives. So over the course of these 4 weeks, hopefully we'll see these ping pong containers grow in size. Then on the week before Easter, we're going to take all of them and combine them into one big one and say, God, these are the people we're asking for you to bring into your kingdom. But every week, we're going to partner the ping pong ball with an invite card. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, as you put that ping pong ball in the thing that we're going to be praying for this week, take an invite card and find a way. Take that person at lunch, yabba dabba doo, whatever it is that you need to do to get them with that.
First week also, have a photo booth or some kind of place they can get a photo with a sign or your information for Easter and have them put it on their Facebook page. I'm excited about Easter and have them broadcast. If you got 25 people doing that, then you got 25 people that's reaching their friends with, hey, I'm excited about Easter coming up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about this. It's like one voice is loud. Two voices are louder. Three voices are, oh my Lord. I know that because I have 3 kids. Like, that's how it works. And if you can have a photo booth set up. And when I say photo booth, I saw one the other day, blew my mind. You know what it was? It was a tablecloth, a plastic tablecloth from the dollar store, some happy birthday streamers that didn't say happy birthday, and like 3 balloons that were blown up and taped to the wall.
Simple.
That's what? $5. $5 and it's simple, and it's just taped on the wall, and they have people come by and stand there. Like, I saw that, and I showed April. I was like, babe, look at this. We got to do something like this. So, yes, thank you for bringing that up. I left that part out. And all of this is on the day of the wave, because you want to use the wave to get people in your building stupid excited and pumped up for Easter.
So that's March 20th. What do you do the next week?
That's March 20th. So that's 4 weeks out. Now, the next week out is March 27. So this is when we're going to start doing our promo video. Now, what does that look like? The promo video is simply, we're using Church Marketing University. We use church, and they give out like the Easter kit. I think they give it out free every year. So they have like a 1-minute video that basically is like, cool music in the background, cool graphics, and says like, Easter's coming, are you excited? Something like that. We're going to say, hey, as we somebody comes out with a ping pong ball, guys, we're so excited about Easter. Last week we started our Easter push. We want you to check this video out. Boom. The video's playing. They see the promo of what Easter looks like. After that video, we do the ping pong invite and all of that stuff again. And then with the ping pong thing, we're doing, this is where some people have used peeps and they've bought peeps and they're like, you know, invite your peeps.
Yeah.
This year we're doing the plastic Easter eggs and we're putting Easter candy in it because we're so excited about your friends coming to Jesus. It's cheesy. It's Easter. It's supposed to be cheesy. It's supposed to be cheesy. So that's what we're doing. And everybody that comes in is going to get an Easter egg with candy in it and invitation cards for them to invite their friends. So that's 3 weeks out. Okay. So that's, and it doesn't seem big, but that's, this is working with all of this in tandem. If we have any leftover yard signs and people were there that didn't get yard signs, we'll push yard signs there. If we don't, we won't push yard signs, but we'll push go to the photo booth. Then the next week, which is 2 weeks out, we're doing a personal testimony video. There, in our churches, hopefully there's one person that's been invited over the last 2 years that's had that their life has been impacted, that you can take an iPhone or an Android and just have them say, hey, you know, my name is so-and-so, and I got invited to this church by so-and-so, and since I've been at this church, I've met Jesus, and I've built friendships. 2 minutes or less. It doesn't have to be a speech. 2 minutes or less. We've got one of the people we've asked to do this is so in love with our church that, I mean, I think that she's the biggest billboard that our church has. Mm-hmm. I asked her 2 weeks ago if she would be willing to do that, and she lit up. All I'm going to do is hold a camera in her, a phone in her face and just record a video and then put some cheesy free music from YouTube behind it so it sounds inspirational and edit it in iMovie. All of that is on my cell phone, every bit of it. Now, I've got other cameras and stuff like that, but what I'm saying is we don't have to be, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, you do. Or you know somebody that'll do it for you if you take them out and buy them lunch. Hint, hint, friends in the room.
That 16-year-old in your church.
Right. This is what they literally live on their cell phones with technology. So this is going to be 2 weeks out now. We're doing the personal testimony, the invite cards, the ping pong balls again. So that's when the impact for this is we're being more intense with what we're doing. So the first week out, we're not doing the video invite because this is just generic. We're so excited. Easter's coming. Now 2 weeks out, this is a person you know that you go to church with that was invited by somebody else that you go to church with. So we're going to do two video invites, 2 weeks out, 1 week out. That's what the video invites look like. Then also on 1 week out, when we do the video invite, that's when we pour the ping pong balls together for this visual of what's happening. Maybe you're not going to do ping pong balls. By the way, I stole that idea from Kevin at Thrive Church. That's what they're doing this year, which somebody on their team came up with it, not even Kevin. Maybe you're doing the praying for you cards, five people I'm praying for. I think you did a cross 1 year where people came up and nailed the names on
yes.
the cross. The whole thing's not about the creativity of ping pong balls. What this is it's a visual of, hey, this represents people we're praying for and inviting to church and asking Jesus to come. So on the day before, the week before, whatever Palm Sunday is for you, the week before, do something. Maybe you can't do ping pong balls. By the way, you can get like 144 for $15 from Amazon. I mean, that should be all that a smaller church would need. So maybe you don't do ping pong balls. Maybe what you're doing is invite cards. Bring the invite cards up and put them in a clear box. Or put them in an envelope. We're sending this letter to heaven. Let it be cheesy.
Lay them across the altar.
Lay them across the altar and pray over them. Like the goal is not, well, I can't do ping pong balls because a kid will write on the wall of our church and then an elder will get angry with it. Just do something that is visually stimulating. That's holy, by the way, also. You've got to say that with visually stimulating. So the week before, we're doing the ping pong display, and I keep saying ping pong because this is how we're doing it this year. We're going to have one empty, clear container, and we're going to pour those ping pong balls out of the other containers into that one because there's just something visible that moves you when you see and hear the sounds mm-hmm. of all of that happening. And while we're doing it, we're going to be praying, God, we're praying for this. And I may even pull a name or two out and like, God, we're praying for, you know, Joey, please, Lord, save him.
Oh,
we're praying for Colby, God. Because this is we're leveraging our folks to go into invite mode. And also everybody on the way out, we're going to have people stationed at the doors. Everybody on the way out is going to get maybe we're going to rubber band them or put them in saran wrap or something. We're going to do something creative, but they're going to get a packet of 5 invite cards on the way out. And we're telling our door people, if they walk by you and don't grab one of these, tackle them. Because the whole goal is to get people to invite. Because if we run our mouth and we do the work on the front end, then the day of, we can double our attendance.
So the win for the before is double our attendance. Real quick, in 30 seconds, what's a landing page? Just say somebody don't know.
A landing page is simply something like Colby did this 1 year. I'm not sure if you still do it, but he did heredeems.us.
Yeah.
And they had written that on the back of their windshields, or the back of their back windshield with like the Just Married stuff you write on the back, and it said heredeems.us. And people would type that in, and then it would shoot them over to their regular website. That's one way to do a landing page. The technical thing for a landing page is it's just one page just devoted to that Easter event. Now, that may be a little more complicated than you want to do. Maybe you just want to bump them over to your webpage like Colby did. That's fine. That's fine. The goal is they have one place that's devoted to that event. Maybe your landing page doesn't take them to your website, but takes them to your Facebook event where they can click RSVP that they're going, or maybe that landing page takes them to your website, but it's a page on your website you've created just for Easter.
Just for Easter.
But it's a place to point them. So think about it this way. If you go into a store and you're looking to buy a size 12 running shoes, you say, hey, I need a size 12 running shoes. They're going to ask you, is it for trail running, for long distance, for cross, whatever it is? You tell them what you're looking, they're going to take you to the right place. The landing page is you taking them to the right place. So they're saying, I'm looking for Easter, a place to attend. I'm going to type in heredeems.us or easterinyourcity.com, Easter at your church, whatever you're calling your event. And the good thing about a landing page, you can use the same one over and over if you pay for it. So I'm looking for where to go to church. Let me click on the landing page. It takes me to give me the next steps I need.
All right, so it's all about getting people in the building the day of. Something I've already done, I have monthly leadership meetings. January 1, I'm already hyped Easter, and I've let them know this is why we do this. This is why it's important. Tell your leaders the why. Communicate, over-communicate why you're doing this.
Absolutely.
So it's not just something you do. They can get on board. They can get other people excited about it. Communicate.
I love it. And right. It helps if you've got some wins from last year too.
Yes.
Like this family got connected because of Easter, and we baptized their kids, or they're serving in kids ministry, or the husband, he hasn't come to Jesus yet, but you know what? He was at one of our small groups. Or celebrate what you've had before, because what you celebrate gets replicated.
Colby, so Brian has told us about before the wave. What is the day of the wave? What's some things you do, and what's the win?
So the day of is, first, the win is 100% of your guest cards. All guests that come into your building, you want them to give you at a minimum their name and email address.
So every guest that comes in, need a connect card, a guest card, whatever you call it. I need one of those.
And the win is 100% of those.
100% of them.
And we've shared
if they don't connect, you can't connect with them.
If you don't know their name, you're never going to be able to get a hold of
them. How am I going to get 100% of them?
So we've talked about that in past podcasts, how we can, I don't want to say sneaky, but be sneaky. We partner with different organizations that that deal with children, we dealt with an organization that built playgrounds for pediatric cancer patients. We deal with one now that deals with single moms or expectant moms, and so what we do is we'll give $5 from us to that organization if you give us your name and email address. Most people don't want to be a jerk and not give I'm not giving your $5, I'm giving my $5. So most people don't want to be jerks and say, well, I'm not going to give your $5. No, they're willing to give my money away. So,
If you don't love the children.
Yeah, if you don't love Jesus and children, then.
Now, I understand, this year you had one jerk to come in that did not fill out a guest card.
I did. I can't believe you did that, Joey. I had 100% all year long, and Joey ruined my numbers. But yeah, it's, so be creative, do something like that. I'm coaching a young pastor up in Ohio, and I texted him the other day and said, hey, how's things going? He's like, great. My church loves me. I came up with this great idea of partnering with a children's organization and putting it on the guest cards, and we're sending money to them. And I was like, man, that is an awesome idea. He says, don't worry, I gave you credit. And I was like, well, it's not my idea, but it's good. But, so yeah, you don't want, That's how you get it. And you really, your people have to push that. They have to continue to say, hey, I need you to fill out this card. And we don't give it to them and tell them to go to their seat, go into the sanctuary and fill it out. We tell them, fill it out right here. We've got plenty of space. They can fill it out right there. That way we've got it, because a lot of people, they'll get in there, they'll get busy, worship will start. They're running late, whatever. And they will, they'll forget about that card, and then they'll leave. They'll get home and be like, oh, I forgot to give this card. Oh, well, throw it away. So we have them do it right then and there.
So you got people commissioned that assign the role of
job.
Getting
that's their job
the
on that
card
morning.
From people.
That,
okay.
That's their job
and if
on
I
that
can
morning.
Say-
so.
They're the two most important things on Easter: to have a gospel call for people to give their lives to Jesus and get connection cards. We as pastors get so over the moon because our building is full that day, or there's more people in than usual that day. And yes, enjoy that. Like, come on, man. Especially if you just went through a COVID season where you weren't even open for physical Easter. Enjoy that. But don't miss the goal for the front side of the wave is to double. When the goal for that day of it, the day of the event, is to get connection cards, get them turned in. Even if you have to put people in a headlock,
yeah,
get the connection cards turned in.
So I need to have printed connection cards?
So some people do the scannable QR code. I just read an article from Rich Birch at Unseminary that even still in COVID, people still respond better to printed cards that they can write themselves.
What's the basic information they need on that card?
According to Brady Shearer from Pro Church Tools, they've done studies that have shown the less information you have for them, the more people will fill it out. So we used to have like name, address, date you got married, you know, how many kids you have,
birth dates of everybody,
all of that stuff, social security number, you know, all that stuff. At the very least, they're saying that they've seen the most response with simple name and email. I'm having trouble with that right now, be honest with you, because we send a handwritten card out to people if they give us their address. And I'm going, how can I send them the card? And Brady Shearer's thing is this. This is step one of a journey. So you can get their address later. Get their address at the next thing. So for us, our next thing is like a guest meal. That's what all three of us do. Get their address there. Like, hey, man, we're so glad you're here. Your next step, if you're whatever it is, fill out one of these. So at the very least, you need name and email. Maybe you need name, email, and address. I am 38. I'll be 39 in a few months. I don't want you to have my phone number because I know you're going to call me, and I don't want you to ever call
me. That's why I don't
ever
want you to have my address either.
Right,
but,
so you don't
but we have
up,
it
right.
available. On our card, it says name, email, address optional, phone number optional.
Yeah, so, well, that's how
so we doing. Have those on there. But you know, really, all we want is name and email.
And I got three boxes. How do you prefer to be contacted? Phone call, yeah. Text, email.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
So then I'll know how yeah. they prefer to
yeah.
be contacted.
Yeah, one of the mistakes that we often make is we turn connection cards, serve cards, and prayer cards into one card.
Yeah,
and we put too much stuff on it. We just can't do that.
The other thing that we put on that card too is who invited you.
Yes.
And that is key for the after the wave thing, the guest meal mm-hmm. that we just talked about or just touched on, because not only will I send them a message when they give me their email address, but I'll reach out to the person that invited them and say, hey, I just invited them to the guest meal. I just invited them next week. I just invited them to whatever. Will you please do the same mm-hmm. thing? And that person will also send them. So then now they're getting that personal invite from their friend, but they're also getting a personal invite from the pastor.
I love it.
Something we're doing on Easter Day is we're going to advertise our next series, not only for the adults, but for the kids. So we were trying to build excitement for the kids that day, because we found that used to when I was a kid, if I wanted to go to church, it didn't matter if my parents didn't want to go to church. Now, if the kids go and I want to go to church, the parents will get up and go to church. utilize that. Give them something mm-hmm. excited that they want to come back yes. to. And so we're doing a superhero in the sanctuary and in the kids' church. Afterwards, we're going to talk about heroes of the faith. And so we're going to have superheroes, people in costumes that day advertising mm-hmm. what's coming next week so the kids want to come back.
And also remember that how you win them is how you'll keep them. It's probably worded better somewhere else, but, you know, I've known churches that have had like trampoline artists that came into their church on Easter Sunday. And while the pastor's preaching, people are doing some flips in the air and all that. And then the pastor jumps on and he's bouncing around while he's talking on his, you know, when they come back next week, there's no trampolines. And so you're going to have some disappointed people because, well, where did trampolines go? Or where did the million people band go and all that other stuff? So, you know, I had Metallica here for Easter Sunday. Where are they at this week?
Yeah.
Casting Crowns, I guess, would have been a better choice. But, you know, we had them third day here. Where are they this week? So we try here at First Friends to be who we are. But perfection is our goal every week. But we want to be who we are because that's who you're going to see next week
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
yeah.
with the kids are going to sing a song.
The kid stuff.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Or there's nothing wrong with, like, oh, the theme of Easter is Jesus is a bridge to heaven, and I'm going to have, like, a bridge on the stage built. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's creative with what you're doing.
Yeah.
But don't bring T.D. Jakes in.
Yeah, don't bring in a special guest speaker.
Yeah, because, you know,
compared, you'll be disappointed next week when I'm up there.
Right, yeah. Utilize the kids, too. If you can get them on the stage.
Please, God, use them. But don't let... Go ahead, Joey. Sorry, I'm being negative here. Don't do a cantata. Okay, there.
Yeah, yeah. Let the kids have some part in the service and do something where kids coming in for that day could participate if they wanted to. It's not so complex yeah. that they couldn't get up and be part of that in there that morning. Yeah. Because what you can do is then get little Susie to go to people and
that's
go,
right.
Will you come and see me at church? And that person may not believe in heaven or hell, but they know if they tell Susie, I'm not coming to your church to watch you, they're going to hell.
They know it. They know it. Uh-huh.
And so they'll come.
And here's something else, too. Please, 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 and I'm going to say it one more time, please don't have an Easter egg hunt on Saturday before Easter. Don't do it. People are going to choose one or the other. They're either going to come to your Easter egg hunt or they're going to come to your church service. I just believe, man, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to meet people at the Easter egg hunt and they'll be back because I'll meet them. No, they won't. Thus saith the Lord. No, they will not. Okay. Do your Easter egg hunt. Have an abbreviated service. If you do four songs, only do three and don't get super Pentecostal with the three. Probably a good thing anyway, because it's Easter and you'll have a lot of people that don't know what you do with that. Cut your songs back. Cut your sermon back 10 minutes. No.
So only preach for an hour and 20 minutes instead of an hour.
There we go.
30.
Come on. And then do your Easter egg hunt immediately following the service. Trust me on this. Like, you can make it work. And don't spend $10,000 on an Easter egg hunt where they drop a million Easter eggs out of a helicopter. Don't do that. Like, people just get plastic Easter eggs and put them in your church parking lot and just have fun with it after it's over with. The goal is not to get people to come to an Easter egg hunt. The goal is to get people to come to the helicopter.
Yeah. So after the wave. So I've doubled in attendance. I've got 100% of the cards. Now what do I do with them?
So here's something that you need to do with them. Take those cards, burn them. Don't ever use them again. No, I'm just teasing. So real quick, too, before we get into the backside of the wave, you said something great that you're promoting the next week's service. While you have people in the building on Easter, push next week's sermon series and service. You should be starting a new series either the day of Easter or the next week after Easter. It needs to be something that's attractive, something that will hook people in. Listen, if you've listened to this podcast for 3 minutes, you know that I am Mr. Verse-by-Verse Preaching. I'm not going to start a series going through the candlesticks of Revelation on the next week, okay? That stuff interests me. Don't interest the whole – the only other people it interests are super weird end times people, okay? Like, do some – we're doing a series on joy and on finding your peace and your hope after Easter. It's verse by verse through Philippians. We're calling it Not Today, Satan. We've got one of our team members. He's going to dress like Satan, and I'm going to be doing a promo, and he's going to be talking over my shoulder, and I'm like, Not Today, Satan. So – you're pushing Superhero Sunday. That's what you guys are doing. The next week, we're kicking off a thing called Spring Fest. All Spring Fest is our fall festival done in the spring. And we're kicking off this new sermon series. Also, the day of this year, Mother's Day is three Sundays after they're in your building. We're already in our front end of the way for our Mother's Day. For us, on Mother's Day, we do a free family picture with moms. And their kids too. We want moms to have pictures with their kids. So on the day of, we're pushing next week. This is happening with your kids. Next week, this is happening. Spring Fest, new sermon series. Joey's laughing. Just picture me taking a picture with everybody's mom on that day. And then we're also pushing
glamour shots.
Day.
I was thinking yes. Glamour shots.
Oh gosh, man. Can you send me with like a Jerry Curl mullet in the glamour shot? That'd be awesome. So we're pushing Mother's Day as well because some people just ain't coming back next week, but maybe mom has invited that daughter and she's going, she's nudging her with the elbow. I want you in that picture in 3 weeks because 3 weeks is not long when it comes to church world.
Yeah.
And in the modern church world we live in where people show up to church every 3 weeks, it's a good time to promote what you got going on for Mother's Day. So all of these things are happening to get people to come back. We have a friend, Tommy Smith, who pastored a church here in town who they did like a petting zoo the next week. The week after Easter, because everybody's going to show up for Easter. We want to come back the week after Easter, so that's important.
So we do a guest meal. All of us in here do a guest meal, and that's the week after. So you're contacting those people on your card. Hey, we've got a guest meal coming up. We want to get to know you. It's mainly about getting to know them. And then in the last 10 minutes, we tell them we will not keep you longer than an hour. We'll let you go after an hour. This is not a hostage situation. We'll let you out. In the last 10 minutes, we just want to let them know, just give them our elevator pitch on what our church is and how they can take their next step. Get in a life group or get in a serve team. We want you to be a part. And so we just give that pitch, give them a card they can fill out, get it back from them that day if they're interested in turning in a card. We don't pressure them. It's not, you can't leave till you fill out a card. It's not a timeshare type thing.
Lock the doors, Timmy.
Yeah, but we try to get that information for them. We try to get to know them. So I contact them early in the week. Hey, we got this going on. I'm going to you back on Friday. I contact them on Friday. Hey, you interested? What's your favorite pizza? Because we want to have your favorite pizza there. If you can't do pizza, we're going to get you a salad. These are your salad options from Subway because they're right next to each other for us, the pizza place and Subway. And we get that. And do you have any allergens that we need to know about so we can serve you? And so it speaks to them. We love you and we care about you. And I got some good responses from that.
Yeah, you're killing it when it comes to that. Here's something also to consider because we messed this up last year. We had the big event the week after Easter, which stood in the way of people coming to a starting point, guest meal, because I'm outside in this outdoor service. Everybody's having fun. And now I'm like, hey, we got to go inside now. And that just was a big flop. So for us, we're not doing our guest meal the week after Easter. We're doing it the week after the week after Easter. So our come back to us event is Spring Fest. And then there, our guest meal is after that. So that's just something to be cognizant of. This is how we're trying to overcome a problem, correct the issue we had last year.
Okay.
And then also on Mother's Day, being 3 weeks out, so we've got Easter, Spring Fest, guest meal, Mother's Day.
Where do you fit baptism in, or do you?
So for Mother's Day, we're doing child dedications and the pictures with mom. Those are the two things that are the drawback for Mother's Day. And then after Mother's Day, we've got first serve. So that's the day anybody who served after Easter to that day, we're going to have pictures of them with their first serve shirt, whatever that looks like, and display that up on the stage. If we've only got three people that have served, we're going to bring them jokers down and have them in person so people can clap and all that. So first serve is that, and then after that is baptism. So baptism is going to be 5 weeks after Easter. I know we said 4-1-4. So really, for us, it's 4-1-5. That's when we're doing baptism because it's also like close to the end of the month of May. And so that's when we're doing baptism. We're also going to parlay baptism or connect baptism into kind of almost like a summer jump off. So it'll be a tiny event in a tiny wave in and of itself. So we got Easter, the Spring Fest after Easter, Mother's Day, first serve, baptism.
So we got our guest meal, baptism, Mother's Day, And then, of course, the sermon series that's going to draw to both adults and kids, hopefully. And then in May, we got our Spring Explosion, which is a picnic for the church. And that's another place that they could come, a fun place they could connect up with our folks. Yeah. It's not back to a church service, but it's another place they could connect up separate down the road.
Yeah. And see, as you guys are listening, you can hear we're doing different things on different weeks. And so try it out. Work with what works with you and your rhythm and your calendar. The point is not, well, Joey's doing baptism 2 weeks before Brian, and which one of those is going to be the best one? You know which one's going to be the best one? The one you do. Because do it. Listen, this is something that has helped me out so much. Done is better than perfect. Done is better than perfect. Don't wait for perfect situation, perfect budget, perfect plan. Steal some of our ideas. What matters is that you do something. Like, don't miss out on connecting people to your church because you just are excited they're there. Have them move in.
And you may have to do it on a different day than what we had kind of mapped out because you borrow somebody else's baptismal.
Right.
So I can't do it at the same time you do it because I'm probably going to borrow yours.
or their bounce house, right? Like we got to work with that.
So, so you've got to be able to, you got to kind of manipulate this a little bit to fit your schedule and if you're borrowing somebody else's stuff to make sure it works.
And when you baptism, don't just do a baptism. Get them to invite their friends to see them being baptized. Yeah. So, make it another opportunity for them to invite people back. Have a cake afterwards for those who got baptized celebrating with their friends and then come and have that cake together. Family members, you got them in the building. You're fellowshipping with them. And it's an opportunity to get people to come and celebrate what God has done in their life.
Absolutely. See, and here's what I hope that people heard this, but here's what we're saying. Okay, we've got a wave, front end, day of, back end for Easter, but we also have that for Mother's Day. We also have that for Baptism Sunday. We also have that for all these other events in between that. So maybe you want to print out some invite cards to give to people who are being baptized that says, come watch me be baptized. This is a special day for me. And they have a card in their hand, so now you don't have them in that awkward, I don't know what to say. Say, hey, I'm getting baptized this day. Here's a card with a date on it. Come and watch me. Leave the date blank so they can handwrite the date in. Kobe did that with, was it Easter cards last year?
Yeah.
Leave the date blank. What we're saying is we have this is like shooting fish in a barrel if we can get it right. To create a culture where we invite people. Now that's the easy part. The hard part is connecting with them and following up and checking on the system. But we can do this and you can do this, guys. This has been good, man. There's been a lot of stuff to take in. It's been a longer episode, but that's cool. Like who doesn't want to listen to us solve the world's problems for longer than 35 minutes at a time? So, man, this has been really good. I would encourage you, go back through this, listen to it with your team, maybe even share it with some other pastors that you know maybe find benefit from it. Also, if you have a question and would like us to kind of help coach you through or help guide you through an Easter wave, reach out to us. Man, you can find us on social media. Kobe will tell you exactly how you can do that.
Go to Facebook, up in the search bar, type in Small Church Leadership. That'll take you right to our page, and you can hit us up on there, send us a direct message, or you can just make a comment on our page, and we will get with you immediately.
And immediately means different things to different ones of us. So we will get with you. Hey, I'll tell you what. We'll get with you before Easter. Now we're not saying which year, but we're saying
maybe Saturday night at midnight, but we'll get with you.
Listen, if we miss your Easter wave, we'll help you on your fall wave. Joey, what else?
If you could go to our Facebook page, if you go to Facebook and type in the search bar, Small Church Leadership, it'll pull us up. He just said that. And so I want you to go wherever you're getting this podcast.
Significantly older.
Woo! His face was I wasn't actively listening. We talked about it that last time. go to wherever you're getting this podcast. If you give us a 5-star rating, we would appreciate it. Share it with your friends and subscribe so when we got new content coming out, you could know that that's out there. It could benefit from it. And thank you for but thank you for that.
And if you would, give us a rating. We would prefer a 5-star rate. Oh, he just said
that. He just said that. Wait, you were listening. You know what he said.
That was that teamwork thing again, right? I didn't want him to feel like the only one.
Yeah. Hey, I love you, Joey. You're the best, dude. We love you. Guys, thank you for listening to us. We hope that this has helped you. This has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are absolutely helping the small church fulfill the big mission. We'll see you next time when we're talking about
something fun.
Make sure you're paying attention and you're down with us. So we love you. I'm Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we will see you next time, guys. Bye now.